Got to call Ben in the phone time.
I thought he would cut before he comes on, but he actually did keep it at least once. So maybe he always keeps it. I don't know. It's my problem for listening to it. I'm calling him late, though. That's part of the issue. Hey, Ben Lawrence. So, right off the bat, I have a correction.
You have a correction.
Yeah, okay. So, as people may or may not know, this is the show where we correct the previous show. That's really, if people ask what the podcast is about, we mostly correct the previous show.
Right.
And then it goes on. It's sort of like that David Cross sketch.
Yeah, yeah. No, the show which about was written pets by, was last week, but it's going to be airing next week. Today, we're talking about hair loss, which is going to, which previewed last week. Can't you guys get it right?
Yeah. I think the guy who was who did Starburns or who played Starburns on Community,
right?
Wrote that sketch. I think he wrote that sketch, and I think he wrote the audition sketch also, which are both
those
two
are
of my favorite
really
ones.
Really great sketches. Yeah.
So anyhow,
Harmon named
the
his
thing
production
that I
company after
on.
That character. I'm sorry. What was that?
Wait, what happened?
Harmon, the production company that produces Community is named after that character.
Oh,
Starburn,
I had no idea.
Starburns Industries.
Hey, well, that works out. And that guy is a funny guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. No idea what he's like in person. no cosign. Retweets are not endorsements. So I've stopped doing Twitter for a little while, but that's not the correction. And we'll talk about that in just a second.
All right.
What I wanted to correct, and it's nothing except for a misconception. I actually listened to the podcast for a little bit
last
today
week's?
When I was in the car.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a time when I said, so we went to Epcot Center, and it was the first time I've ever heard the word sweet. I didn't realize how much of what is in my head doesn't make it out of my mouth when we do the podcast. We went to the Epcot Center. That is true. But what I neglected to say, it was in 1984. Actually, it might have even been 81. Sometime between 81 and 84, we went to the Epcot Center. So I would have been anywhere between 11 and I want to say 8. Yeah.
So
8 to 11.
So you listened you listened to the show and you realized that what makes it out of your mouth is not what's always in your head. And I would just like to say,
right,
I'm really happy that you are starting to get a sense of what it's like to have a conversation with you sometimes.
Yeah. Well, let me just say that. Yeah. It was crazy because not only that. So I said, you know, it's the first time I heard sweet.
Right.
Sweet.
Like as an adjective.
And then when I talked about how I was listening to Cops and I heard the word yo first, I meant, of course, the television show Cops. And I listened to it when I was in high school. And that's when I first heard that.
Yeah.
So, let me just let... I apologize to the listener. I am all over the place. also, my wife has mentioned many times that... that she can tell me to do something forever, and I never do it. And then when one of my friends mentions it to me once, then I do it. There's a reversal of that happening right now.
Oh, what is that?
She said to me, she was like listing just little points about the show, the way the show could go better.
Okay.
And one of the things she said was, Paul, you really shouldn't eat when you're doing the podcast. Now, you have mentioned this to me many, many times, but it wasn't until she said it that I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it got to the point where I don't even try anymore.
Yeah. so, I apologize to everyone. What show is this? Which number?
Oh, this is episode number 80.
Episode 80. Well, it's nice. This is a good time. episode 80, Paul stops eating on the podcast. We'll see if it works.
Well, now, does that...
But I hope it does.
Does this also include Paul not cooking during the podcast?
Yes.
All
right. In fact, right before... The reason I was a few minutes late is right before I called, I ate a piece of pizza. A piece of cold pizza from the refrigerator. I was like, I can't make it through the podcast. The problem is, see, my eating time is normally 6:30.
Right.
And that's because of the Boaz Frankel diet.
Right. And we record between 6 and 7 your time.
Yeah. So I've always been eating.
Yeah.
I am no longer doing that. I will be eating during the pre-app. The pre-app? Pre-funk to the podcast. Podcast pre-funk.
Just like right before you snorf down a piece of pizza. Snorf?
Exactly.
Is that a word? Why did I just say that?
It is now.
Scarf.
There we did. I did.
That's
it.
What I was looking for.
Oh, snarf from Thundercats also snarf. is a thing.
Oh, isn't that what Pinky used to say on Animaniacs? Was it snarf?
Oh, I think he just said narf.
Narf. Okay.
Narf. But but there is I believe there's a Snarf's Sandwiches in St. Louis.
We should go there, see if they're any good.
Yeah, you should. You should. Come on down, Ben.
Why don't you go first and tell me if it's any good? And then I'll see if I believe you.
We've been there before. Our family has been there before. Yeah. And it's a good sandwiches. Yes. The sandwiches are good. With a name like Snarf's, the sandwiches
you can't go
better
wrong.
Be good. Yeah, there was actually, I believe, an almost live sketch. I want to say, but it might have been a Saturday Night Live sketch. But I want to say it was an almost live sketch.
About?
Because there's a line that says, with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. The jelly Smuckers.
Right.
And I never got that commercial. I always thought it was, with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good, meant that we're the Smuckers, we put our name on this, so it has to be good.
Well, from one of those satire shows, or is that an actual marketing campaign from Smuckers?
Oh, it was a marketing campaign. It was. It definitely was.
All right.
What the conceit of the sketch was, was that the slogan, with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good, meant that Smuckers was kind of a disgusting name. So the fact that you had a jelly called Smuckers meant that it was really good. And so the rest of the sketch was people saying, this jelly's name is racism. Would we be able to call our jelly racism if the name wasn't good? It had to be a good jelly, you know, that kind of thing. That sort of.
Yeah.
Racism wasn't it. I said racism.
Well,
because I was trying to think of something disgusting wasn't also going to gross you out. Because I don't want to gross you out on your own podcast.
Racism Ben. Has, you know, it's a big topic amongst the world today, especially here in the good old US of A.
And in fact, one of the things that I heard at one point in time, that was a statement that... yeah, he has a hard time listening to women. I think it might be a cultural problem. Said of someone who wasn't necessarily originally from the United States. And I'm like, oh no, that's very American. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I thought you were talking
not
about
Donald
Trump.
Not listening to
women
is yeah. Speaking about which, not being on Twitter. So here's the thing. I've pinpointed that one of the things that makes me angry all the time is reading Twitter.
Right.
I love talking to people. I love interacting with people. There's a guy who I've been, online friends with for a really long time, who recently sent me a message on Twitter saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you sometime." And I actually signed back onto Twitter. So that I could instant message him and say, or send him a DM that says, "Hey, here's my email address. Contact me on email," because that way I can delete Twitter from my phone and I'm not tempted to get on it. I love it. It's fun. It's great. But I'm serious. I have pinpointed. It makes me angry and irritable
all
the
time.
Yes,
well, that, you know, it just proves you're paying attention. Have you canceled your account, or are you just not signing
on?
No,
no, I'm not doing that again. Well, last time I canceled my account, somebody signed up for an account with my email address, so I'm leaving it on. And who knows? Like, if I break my leg or something and I can't get out of my bed, maybe I'll get back on it. Maybe I'll get back on it to next week, but I hope not, because I do feel better when I'm not doing it. And I have more time to do other things, like watch all of Halt and Catch Fire, which I'm not done with, but I like it. And Stephen McCandless, if you're listening, I think you would like Halt and Catch Fire. It's a good TV show. You'd probably
seen
like it too, Ben.
I haven't seen it, but something that I did watch recently was Glow, the Gorgeous Ladies Wrestling on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was really good. I really liked it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm interested in it because
after I finished it, we're of the age where we actually saw the show on TV.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Yeah. Afterwards, when I finished the last episode, Netflix was like, here's something else you might like. And it was a mini documentary on the actual Glow. So I stayed up about an hour and a half later than I meant to that night and watched this little documentary. And it was actually pretty interesting.
Now, the thing is that I remember the police raid or whatever you want to say of the barbecue thing that happened. Do you remember that?
Was this one of their sketches?
No. It was associated with... Here's the thing. Associated with Glow, right?
Yeah.
The TV show was a conversation. Again, I got this from Twitter before I got off. A conversation about how one of the wrestlers, I believe her name when she was wrestling was Mount Fuji, I want to say.
The wrestler's name is Mountain Fuji. No, yeah, Fiji. Sorry, Mountain Fiji.
Oh, Fiji. Okay, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Mountain Fiji. Sorry, Tennessee. Or sorry, everybody. So the basic thing is that she and her family had an altercation with the police. And the thing that was crazy about that was that I remembered the altercation with the police, but I didn't know that she was involved. Or that it had any connection with Glow whatsoever until the show came out.
And so this wasn't part of the show. This was like a news story that you saw?
Yeah, a news story, yep. Interesting. A news story this family was having a get-together and the police got called because they were too loud or something.
All right.
It turned into a brawl of sorts.
Oh, well, you shouldn't.
And I'm not sure, as dedicated listeners will know and new listeners are about to find out, we don't use Google when
we do this podcast. Normally, just not while we talk.
Right, exactly. We don't fact check because Ben and I noticed at one point in time that everyone thinks that they're right about stuff all the time. Like, and by that I mean that they're like, oh well, I know this because they can Google stuff right away.
Right.
And knowing that you can look it up has suddenly become knowing what something is. And it's crazy. So we started this as an experiment, and it became a feature of the show. Ben and I don't look stuff up. We guess, and we try our best.
And it also gives fodder for our weekly corrections segment.
Exactly. And my wife, Jennifer Pratt, is gracious enough to listen to the podcast.
She sacrifices an hour every week.
Yep, that's true. And lets us know what we got wrong. And so for instance, the thing about the altercation, she will probably look it up and probably give us a little bit of background and some story about it. And so we are now, I think, good to go into, corrections.
You want to,
which we should do.
Sure. You want to sing the theme song while I pull it up?
Oh yeah, sure. Corrections. Ding.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Corrections. Number one. I said pop or soda was called Coke. And she says, I can confirm this. I grew up in Tacoma and had the same experience. If you asked for a Coke at a restaurant, they would ask, what kind? Then you would say 7-Up or Dr. Pepper or Fresca, root beer, etc. She says, I have no idea why this is the case. We were far, far, far away from Atlanta, Georgia. Which is
the
true thing.
Weird.
We are
yeah.
about as far away from Atlanta as you can get in the continental U.S.
Probably. It has something to do with the migration of people from Atlanta to Tacoma. There was a wave that first happened in the 1800s, and then later on,
yeah,
in the mid 1900s,
they were just looking to escape the humidity and stopped when they hit, you know, when they hit the Puget Sound, thinking it was the ocean. A lot of people call it the ocean, not the ocean. It's the sound.
Yes, exactly. I really love that Puget Sound. It's
anyway.
No, but yeah.
Number 2.
If you want to make Jennifer laugh, just or are really excited about stuff, just talk to her about population migrations in the United States. She loves it. It's one of her favorite things.
All right,
to
number
talk
two.
About.
David Rakoff's Dance, referred to by me, was filmed on May 10th, 2012. I believe May 10th is it's in May. I was going to say it's your birthday, yeah, but it's not your birthday. The 15th is your birthday. So,
oh my gosh, Ben, I have no idea when your birthday is.
I had to cover. she says he died.
Tell me when your birthday is.
He died August 9th, 2012, one day shy of 4 months later.
Oh, wow. Okay. When's your birthday, Ben?
Actually, one of the reasons I remember your birthday is because I had a poster for, I think it was, I don't think it was the original Matrix movie, because I think that came out in a different time of year, but I had a poster for one of the sequels, and it basically just said 5:15 on the poster in front of the green, you know, cascading text.
Sure, sure.
And so I'm like, hey, that's Paul's birthday. My birthday is the 9th of March. March 9th.
March 9th.
Yeah.
Okay. I will try to remember it. When we get closer to it, I want you to say, Paul, when's my birthday? Your middle name is David.
Hey, you got that right.
Yeah. All right. So I'm almost there.
All right.
And good for you, Ben. Thank you. You're winning the friendship so far. You're so ahead. Oh my God!
I am on a drug. It's called Ben Lawrence.
There's no way I could catch up.
All right, number 3.
Yes, Ben.
Number 3. There are three. We talked about whaling, and there are three countries that still allow commercial whale hunting: Japan, Iceland, and Norway. Japan has said that its commercial whaling industry is used for scientific research on whales, which is a bit weird. But hey, I'm no sea shepherd. I don't know who Sea Shepherd is.
Sea Shepherds, I'm guessing, probably a Greenpeace kind of thing where they stop whales from getting killed.
Oh, Sea Shepherd. I thought that was a name. I thought this person's name was, the first name was Sea, like, you know, S-E-A.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it is.
She's
maybe
no
is.
Sea Shepherd. I think you're right.
I think I'm right, but I don't know.
Thought might maybe have someone been will tell like, us. You know, maybe the Greenpeace's version of one of the Attenborough brothers. Number 4.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Here's
something that I'm interested in. Like, interrupting Ben. That's what I'm interested in. Sorry, Ben. I'm going to be interested to see, like, what is our correction threads? Like when she corrects us about something that we said in response to her correction. Like,
oh, right.
You know how when you volley for serve, you know, you go back and forth and back and forth. And,
yeah.
Like, I wonder how long we can go having a correction and, like, if we can trace it back to the origin point. It'd be cool. Anyhow, sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
Number 4, schools. And then she says in parentheses, I know you're super excited, Ben. I can feel it. So she says, in Edwardsville, primary school, K-2. Elementary school, 3-5. Middle school, grades 6-8. High school, grades 9-12. The structure, she says, this structure is developmentally appropriate. And then she goes on to say, Seattle schools, besides being an underfunded massive disaster, are also all over the place in terms of appropriate developmental environments for the kids. Thus, you get middle schools and junior high schools mashed up with elementary schools. And, well, if you go to middle school until 8th grade, but your reference school is high school that starts at grade 10, it's a mess. She says, the model from our childhood, I'm thinking she says, as in all three of us, because we're generally the same age, And the more common one is elementary K through 5, middle school 6 through 8, high school 9 through 12, or elementary K through 6, junior high 7 through 9, and high school 10 through 12. Now, that's also completely different from my school, which I mentioned last time, which was elementary K through 6, middle school 7 and 8, and high school 9 through 12.
Yeah, see, and mine, very similar. Well, no, because I went to parochial school, which was all the way through 8th grade, kindergarten through 8th grade, and then high school. But I went to the public high school. If I had been in public school, I would have gone to junior high, 7th and 8th grade, and then high school in 9th.
Yeah.
Yeah, so school. So
it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it.
What is our children learning, Ben?
A nation must ask. Wait,
did you say that was it?
That was it. There's a,
wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, those were corrections, everybody.
Corrections.
And, as usual, if corrections are done, we have a full 40 minutes to talk.
to just screw other things up, to get other things wrong.
Exactly. And just so that everyone knows, if you haven't listened, the reason that we go for an hour is because this is a petty vendetta against Joe Garden, who I like. I like Joe a lot. And I believe he got married recently, I want to say. Joe Garden got married. I met the woman that I believe he married. And we've talked about her on this show. I am not going to do it anymore. But maybe I will later. I met them and their dogs. And I'm bad, a bad person.
Yeah, that's what I think of you.
If it's not obvious, I'm blanking on her name and I know her. Person. I know her. I think I know her name. What is it, Ben?
I've never met this person. Isn't it Hannah?
Yes. Oh, that was what, because I was going to say Hannah and that seemed wrong to me. Because it's Hannah. Unless it's Hannah and you're wrong. It's possible.
I will totally accept that I'm wrong because I do not know this person.
I believe it's Hannah. She's great. She's a cartoonist. And she's been working on cartoons a while. But the big thing is I normally interact with her on Twitter and I have been using Twitter for at least 2 days.
How long is it going to last? So you've gone 2 days without using Twitter. When do you think you're going to get back on Twitter?
Don't know. I'm not making any guesses.
What's the over under on say, a week if you're off for a full 7 days?
I would love to be off for a whole 7 days. Let's find out.
Yeah. You'll take the over next, on 7 days?
I think I can make 7 days. I'll try it. We'll see.
So we'll come back next week when we talk about this. Yeah. Now, Jennifer, put this in the corrections so I don't forget, please.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll see if Paul makes it a whole... Well, by this point next week, it'll be 9 days.
Yeah. Oh, hey, that's a... Wait, will it?
Because you've been off
How
for
would
two,
that be?
You've been off for 2 days so far.
Well, no, yeah, let's start over because I signed on so I could send an instant, a DM to to Drew Tolson. So, yeah, we'll say a week. We'll try a week.
All right.
And speaking about that kind of stuff, well, maybe.
Yeah.
I had a dream last night that I was eating shrimp. I was like, oh, but shrimp isn't kosher. Why am I eating this? And if you remember, I've had dreams like that back when I was vegan, that I was eating a huge roast beef sandwich from Subway.
I don't think that's an all uncommon thing for people who, not just vegan or kosher, but if you're trying to, say, give up smoking or give up drinking, you probably dream a lot about doing one of those activities.
And then you're like, oh no, wait, why did I do that? Or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I've been having interesting religious conversations with that I would say are pretty interesting with because one of the things I noticed was back when I was wearing the kippah all the time and stuff like that, people felt very comfortable talking to me about religion in places where I normally would not be comfortable talking about religion.
Just like standing in line at the Whataburger?
Oh, things like that, yeah.
Do you even have Whataburgers over there in the Midwest?
They do not.
Is that where they are? No, okay. I just saw a video with Whataburger in it because I've been reviewing Sketchfest film challenge videos. So that's why it came to mind.
I'm planning not to get too heavy on this, Ben, but I'm going through a little bit of a, as we know, as we talked about, I've gone through a little bit of a spiritual, ambiguity lately.
Yeah, because you were very heavily into adopting your Jewish ancestry, and then as of like last week or 2 weeks ago, you told me that you had stopped doing that.
And the reason is, as it gets complicated, you know me, I'm conflict avoidant. There are some things that are just, pretty heavy topics. And I was like, the one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to like show up somewhere and go, oh, and I need to say this. When I say show up somewhere, I'm not talking about the place where I went and talked to people. I'm talking about, I don't want to enter a community. And again, Twitter being gone, this might help. But in Twitter, there's a lot of talk about different topics related to Judaism. And I had opinions about those topics, but I did not want to get into a huge fight on social media about things that I just learned about maybe 2 months ago or whatever. So, and I started evaluating and I realized that, like it or not, I do have a culture, already, this Midwestern American culture that I grew up in. And then the Seattle, fringe theater culture and all that. There are aspects of me that already, exist. And so trying to replace all of those wholesale, which is what I was kind of doing, it's not good.
Baby steps, Paul. Baby steps.
That's not to say that there isn't stuff I can learn about Judaism and, learn about all sorts of things. But the one thing I don't want to do is get into an ethnocentrist mindset. And I'm not saying that Jewish people get into an ethnocentrist mindset. I'm saying that
You found yourself walking down that path.
Right. I found it a little bit dangerous to my own personal spiritual well-being because I have bad tendencies. Not that there's anything wrong with, anything else. But that I have to me not compartmentalizing myself, as it goes with all human beings, is a good thing. It's good for me to think of, all the things that make up me and other people.
Right. I think that's only natural, and I think that's actually a healthy when you're trying to incorporate religion into your life. I think it's healthy to make it an aspect of your personality and not your personality.
Right. And the thing, like I want to say again, the people I've been working with, they are 100% great people.
And they probably put up with a lot.
Yeah. Me, I'm a different case. I'm trying to be good. And so that's what I'm working on. Because you've known me for a long enough time to know I got problems, Ben. They exist and they're not going to go away just because I suddenly feel better about stuff. That just sets a new baseline for normal. And then the problems start again from that new baseline.
Right. Basically. But then, that's good, I think, when you set that new baseline because you are able to identify those issues that you have. I mean,
a good point.
When you just live with the problems, they become normalized and you don't even see them anymore.
That's true. That's a very good point. Other news, Betty and I have a chess set now.
A chess bet? You're playing chess?
A chess set. Yeah. And we had a moment. It's like, is the dress blue or is the dress,
Yeah, I did. So, is it black and is it white and
so
gold
were you
or
there,
blue
were,
and black and blue or something?
On Twitter, right? and you can look this up. I posted a picture of the chess set, and I said, okay, so which of these pieces is white? You know, you have white and black in chess.
Right. Well, you know, opposing colors, they don't necessarily need to be white and black.
White. It could be white and red. For instance, Alice in Wonderland through the Looking Glass, it's the Red Queen.
Cream and brown. Anyway, that's not important. So you posted a picture on Twitter that said, which one of these pieces is white?
Because it's clear, right?
Okay.
And frosted.
Oh, I see.
Betty originally thought that frosted was black and clear was white. Which I can understand, but I was arguing that the clear was black and the frosted was white because if you look at the squares, the frosted ones look white and the clear ones look black.
Ah, yeah. I would say it doesn't matter. As long as, you know, you put all the frosted ones on one side, all the clear ones on the other side.
That's what most people got to at that point. But it was interesting. People could argue about it for a while.
Right.
And, of course, the answer is neither of them are white.
Exactly.
Neither of them are black. So you can argue about that all the time. And that's when I realized, yeah, language is weird.
Yeah. I think...
A great example, and I might have mentioned this... I'm sorry, you were starting to talk. I don't want to talk over you.
I was just going to say, I think if I owned that chess set and I needed to decide which pieces would go on the white side and which pieces would go on the black side, I think I'd side with Betty. I think I'd say that the... what was it? The clear side is on the white side and the frosted side is on the black side.
Well, Ben, I'm sorry that you're wrong, but that's a good thing to know. This is what I mean. Language is weird, right? Zach Treisman, mathematician, one of my old roommates. You might remember Zach.
Did he live in Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. I know that guy.
Yeah. He's great. I like him.
I have other thoughts.
So we were talking about that whole thing, what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object, right?
Right.
And one of the things that he said was that math is weird, right?
Yeah.
And so, because what I said was, well, when the irresistible force meets the immovable object, my thought is the irresistible force passes through the immovable object. The immovable object stays where it is.
Right.
And he was like, math is weird. You know, there's a thing where the probability of it going through the immovable object, it might be higher that the irresistible force isn't where it was anymore. Stuff like that. And I'm sure that Zach could explain it better than me. I'm paraphrasing. But what I thought of later on, years later, was that what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? That's all English. That's not math, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing you need to do is define in mathematical terms what constitutes immovable, what constitutes irresistible. And once you can do that, then you can answer that question mathematically. But before that happens, it's just words, you know?
Solve for X.
What happens when a marshmallow fights a hot dog? Well, you know, nothing because they're inanimate.
God, I'm getting so tired of the marshmallow wars.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, marshmallows contain gelatin. It's difficult for me.
So,
Yeah, go ahead.
I mentioned when you brought up Zach and I finally remembered who he was and you're like, I like him. And I said, I have other thoughts. I think the very last time I ever saw that guy was I was giving away a couch and he wanted my couch. And I'm like, great. Come get it. So he came to my house and he picked up my couch and he took it home with him. And I'm like, great, I am all done with this couch. I don't have to worry about this couch anymore.
Oh no.
2 hours later, he brings the couch by and he leaves it in my driveway and leaves a note saying we couldn't get it in our house, so I'm giving it back to you.
Oh no.
And I was basically, my stance was, look, you took it away. It is now your problem.
Wait, when was this?
Oh, this was years ago. I don't even remember.
No,
it was like 10 years ago.
But like, Is it possible that I was living at his house at the time?
I don't
know, right?
I don't even remember you living at his house.
I lived at his house in Ballard. It was me, Kristen Johnson, and him.
I do not remember that.
What I'm worried about is that I somehow was involved in this.
I don't think you had anything to do with it. I knew that dude independently, I think, through Jay.
Oh, no, wait. No, wait, 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 wait. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because 10 years ago, Betty would have been alive.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have been. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good, 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 good.
So anyway.
Here's what I was worried about.
That's always.
I was worried about me telling him, yeah. Oh, we can't get it in here. Just take it back. Ben will be fine with it.
Don't worry.
And all this. Yeah, yeah.
This has nothing to do with you, but I mean that whole thing kind of left a sour taste in my mouth because I had this couch in my driveway for a while that I couldn't. Oh, and you know what eventually happened to that couch? Actually, now that I'm remembering it, I donated that couch to Annex, and we used it for the dressing room of the front page.
Oh,
and then when Annex moved out, we basically just left it at Shaq.
You know what? I feel like you probably told me this story.
I don't think I've said it on the podcast, but I'm sure I've related to you.
No. I mean, at the time, I bet you we would have talked about it.
Yeah.
But okay, so here's the thing about that. The TV at Mr. House.
Yeah.
Was my TV at one point in time.
Really?
Rick took it. Rick Miller.
Yeah.
Took it and said, hey, I got to let you know, when I take this TV, I don't want you to say, hey, I need that TV back. And I was like, why would I do that? I wouldn't. No, of course not. It's your TV.
You're thinking of a different house. You're thinking of Drooping Acres.
Drooping Acres. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, where's Mr. House at?
Mr. House is my house in Wallingford.
Oh.
That I lived with Stephen Hando and Scott Augustin.
Yeah,
and,
I was Drooping Acres.
Drooping Acres,
sorry.
Rick and McCandless, and they had a rotating cast of third roommates.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I just superimposed those two places in my head. I was like, no, Mr. House, you lived there, you know, and Stephen lived there, and oh. Sorry about that, Ben.
So Rick took your TV and he's like, don't ever want this back?
Don't tell me that you want it back.
Did you give it to him or did he just come over to your place?
I gave it to him. Yeah. I said, who wants a TV? And Rick's like, I'll take it. And he said, don't take it back. I mean, don't tell me that you need it back. And I was like, why would that ever happen? You know, that's weird.
I wonder if he's ever had that experience.
But then, well, that's the thing. When we moved here... my sister Karen loaned me her washer and dryer. And then at some point in time, she moved. She loaned us her washer and dryer. And I say loaned. She gave us her washer and dryer because she was living in a place that had one. She didn't need one. We did. So she gave it to us, which is great. But then she moved and she wanted her washer and dryer back.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I guess. Yeah, that makes sense. And Jennifer was like, what are you talking about? And I realized that was the exact kind of situation that Rick was talking about.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I've decided I need a TV again. Hey, Rick, give me that TV.
Yeah, it's not so much you're giving something to someone. It's that you're temporarily loaning it to them or storing it at their house for them to use until you need it back.
But the thing is that, and what he was saying is I've been in situations where people – have said they're giving me something, but it turns out that's not the case.
Yeah.
Let's get terms straight. The thing is that what you needed to do is the exact opposite.
Yeah. Don't bring this back.
when you take this couch, I'm giving you this couch. It's your couch.
It's yours.
Do not bring it back and put it in my driveway with a note that says, hey, I couldn't fit in my house.
Yeah. Speaking of washer and dryers, the washer and dryer that were in Mr. House were Annex's old washer and dryer from our 4th Avenue space. And I only got them because I volunteered to unhook them and take them away when we were moving out of that building.
Oh, see, now that's not bad.
And we eventually had to throw away the dryer because it broke. But the washing machine is probably still there, even though we all moved out of the house.
It's a
opposite of Theseus's ship, basically. The Theseus's ship, the idea is that it's like the Tin Woodsman, Wizard of Oz. You know, he gets his arm cut off, replaced by a metal one, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, he's all replaced by metal. Is he the original guy?
Right. And so the ship is this. Every piece on this ship has been replaced.
Yeah.
Is it still the ship of Theseus?
Yeah. And somebody talked about a band. Did I tell you this one already?
Menudo.
So, well, somebody talked about a band where this had happened.
Yeah.
So there was a band. I'm gonna get the players wrong, but there was a band. A drummer left. They replaced the drummer. And then the bass player left. They replaced the bass player. Oh no! The lead singer left, so they got a new lead singer. And then the bass player left. So it's the same name the entire time, but
right.
Three new people playing.
Right.
And then the three original people went and they formed their own band. Wanted to call it the original band name.
Right.
And they couldn't because that was that band. But really, you know, who for real was that band? Kind of thing.
I actually just read an interesting thing about the band Yes. Do you remember Yes?
Yeah.
So they were...
yeah, I do.
I think the same thing kind of happened to them, whereas like they were playing under the name Yes, and then everybody left except the lead singer. The lead singer still like played and toured as that name, as Yes, and then the remaining members formed their own band, called themselves something differently, and then... I don't remember the sequence of events, but for some reason, once they started playing, the lead singer like rejoined them, and then they called themselves Yes again, and they released "Owner of a Lonely Heart." It was like their 10th album, and it was their biggest hit.
Oh, that is crazy!
I may have some details wrong, but that's kind of how things went down for that band. And I had no idea that Owner of the Lonely Heart was their like so far into their career.
So, Owner of a Lonely Heart was never a Yes song, or it was a Yes song, and then it was a Yes Again song. Like,
I think
can you help me parse that?
I think it was a Yes Again song. I don't think it was ever part of their repertoire as they were originally touring. I think they wrote it after the band had first broken up.
Oh, that is weird. So and then they got the name Yes back?
And then got the name Yes back because they all reformed, they all joined each other again. If Jennifer doesn't wanna correct me on this, I'll look it up and try to get the story straight for next week.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I feel as though, and I think I've mentioned this before, that you and I could just continue doing the podcast for like 30 years and then do a revival of our live shows. And our live show, that's the thing that would be really, really funny, I think. What can we even do for a live show? How can we ever make the podcast a live show? And then we realized that the live show is what started the podcast, even though the podcast isn't anything like that. It's great. I love it. I still like the idea of us doing all of our old bits.
Yeah.
Even though we're old and can't handle it.
I have a spreadsheet, so all we need to do is just, you know, remember how the pieces go and then just do them sequentially.
The one thing I am glad that we didn't do, but I'm also sad that we didn't do, was Shovel Fight. Do you remember Shovel Fight?
I do. Remind me what Shovel Fight is.
Shovel Fight was, we would go out on stage, we both have shovels, and then we go, hey, for the first time, Ben and I are both employed and have full health coverage.
Okay. Yeah, I think I remember
this. So we're going to have a real fight with these shovels. And then we actually like... full on fight each other with shovels.
Now my plan,
my plan was that of course neither of us would want to,
yeah,
and so it would just be like this cringe, like I can't do it, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. See how far we could get, Yeah, but we chickened out of even trying.
Of course, unfortunately, neither of us had regular full-time health insurance during that time.
I think we did at one point. Didn't you have health insurance at Vulcan, or is that not true?
I did have health insurance at Vulcan.
It was because it was right.
Was it that early? Okay.
When I was at Amazon and you were at Vulcan.
Yeah.
And we had said, hey, it's weird, we have health insurance now, and I was like, yeah, we should totally, man, Ben, and I will say this to anyone who'll listen, if I knew then what I know now,
yeah,
I could have done a lot better at Amazon, I believe.
Right. Worked your way up and made a really good living there.
Well, not just that. I'm talking about actually doing something that was beneficial for other people.
Uh huh.
Because that's the reason for working, Ben. I was having this conversation with Jennifer. People who, okay, I'm getting on my soapbox, Ben. Get ready. Paul's soapbox time.
Take your people, recorder with you when you get on your soapbox.
People who are like, I have to write every day. I'm a writer. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And they're not like, they're not happy. Like, I get it, right? Because I was kind of that way where I had to do a comic every day, right, even when I didn't want to,
right,
even when it was detrimental to my relationships because I was driven to do that.
Right.
I get it. I totally do. However, and this is the big thing. If you are not happy doing that, if that doesn't bring you any sort of joy or whatever, you shouldn't do that. I don't know what else to say other than, because you're not helping anyone.
Yeah. But what do you say what do you say to people who are supporting families who have, or other people who depend on them financially? You're saying that even if they have a good job, but they don't like it, they should not.
Absolutely not. I'm speaking specifically about dreams. Writing. Hold on. People who are supporting families, right?
Yeah.
If they're writing in their spare time rather than hanging out with people and forging, you know, nice relationships and stuff, I'd say maybe stop doing it, especially if you've got a job that's good.
So you're talking more about people who are sort of pursuing their art on the side, even though it doesn't bring them some sort of fulfillment.
Right. If they hate what they're doing.
Yeah.
If it gets them all worked up so that they're complete jerks to everybody else.
I know a lot of artists wants like to, that.
If nobody wants to read the stuff you're doing or consume your art, and you're like, well, I have to do this, I'm an artist. I'm just saying maybe you don't. And I'm just speaking from experience. I love having written. I love having finished something. Hate actually writing.
Right.
Don't like it. Can't stand it.
Yeah. It's work. It's hard work.
Yeah. Am I a writer? I have a book. I guess that makes me a writer. do I have to write every day? No. Heck no. I don't need to write every day. I prefer not to. Now, here's the thing. There are some people who also say, and look, if you love writing and you want to keep writing and there's a thing you're working on, and even if you don't sell it, right? If you just like doing it,
yeah.
Hey, I want to write this thing.
If it brings you something.
Obviously, if you have a job where you're writing and you're getting paid to do it, and you're getting paid like a lot, oh, you don't like writing. Well, fine, then don't do it. Great, no problem. But, you know, you still could, even if you hate it. If you hate it, why do it? I guess.
Right.
So yeah, if you're having fulfillment, you know, and there are people that are reading it that you like, or even if you're just sticking it in a drawer, nobody's reading it, but you like the fact that you wrote something, that's great. What I'm speaking about, there's a tendency that people have to get, and I hate to use the word, but like kind of melodramatic sort of, you know, well, I'm doing this to better mankind or to make people happy, or I have so much to bring to the world and all that.
Yeah.
Making someone read your manuscript when they don't want to isn't making them happy. And I've hit upon it. I've said this before, but I'll say it again now. If you want to make people happy and you want to give back to your community, you want to be a valued member of society, all you have to do is get a pickup truck, let people know on the weekends I'm available to help you move furniture
or
move
take things around.
You will be loved. People will be very happy to see you. You will have fulfilling relationships in that.
Well,
that
I mean,
everyone will see you, as an asset.
Yeah, but you got to look on the other side. You got to see this person with the truck who makes themselves available on the weekends. A little bit of resentment towards everybody
else.
When
they look at the people who are writing the stuff and
well, you know, when they're like, you know, I'm making myself available. I'm doing all of this because I want to better my community. I want to help people. And maybe people who don't necessarily need the help are using and abusing you.
And I would say this, if you feel that someone is using and abusing you in that way, stop doing it. Same thing as writing the story. Because your good deed of helping people move, right? You're paying the cost in emotion. You know, it's actually, they're taking your happiness from you. And that's not good. You should be getting happiness back. I would say if you feel resentment for doing this thing that I'm talking about, where you move, you help people move and all that, they should be paying you back, if not with money, with good happiness and you know, like genuine warmth and affection. And if that's not happening, then those people are jerks.
Well, I think what happens with the kind of people who you were talking about, who do good for their community, and by doing good, I mean like helping somebody move, right?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about like being a completely like community organizer and trying to, you know, get crime off the streets or whatever.
Yeah.
You just want to be like a good person. Well, there's a certain type of person who does that kind of thing because they expect it to come back to them. And when they ask for someone to help them move, they want people to show up in force, right? Because they spent the last year helping other people. And moving isn't, you know, it's an example, but it's not like the, you know, it could go into other territories. But
then I don't know how many times I have to tell you, I was busy that day. I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding.
And I've never forgiven you.
But no,
did you
experience that ever? Did you have to...
No, I don't.
Did
well,
you
I mean,
ask for help
I did
and nobody
I did
you?
Have a pickup truck, and
you are kind of the model for that. Actually, you and John DeShazo, there are a couple of other people. Like Chris Dietz is another one. Chris Compte. Hey, I need this help, and they'll just show up, and they'll Ian.
Right.
You know, they people who will just show up and be like, "Yes, I am here. I'm going to help you." I think about that all the time. Now, do some of them actually write also? Yes. Yeah, that's kind of weird. So, you know, if you do both like that, you're multitasking.
I think I'm fortunate enough to be in a community and have such a wide swath of friends in that, you know, when somebody needs help moving, I show up because it becomes a thing, right? It's not like I'm helping them move because I expect them to help me move. I'm helping them move because they're somebody that I know and like, and they need help. And I haven't kept track of all of this karma, you know, Like, yeah. when I moved 2.5 years ago, I had certain people come out and help me because I asked for help, and it all turned out. Now, are the people who helped me, are they specifically people who I helped in the past? I couldn't say they are, but I don't remember. But it's an interesting thought to devote yourself to work only because you want to help your community. You can't feel that it's that there's some people can't live their lives because of some selfish desire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing I guess I'm saying is, if you are holding yourself up as a noble individual and you're helping people by pursuing something that brings you joy, right?
Yeah.
And that no one else is interested in, that's an issue. That's what I'm saying.
Read my play.
Like, and hey, you know, it could be a play. It could be a comic that, you know, I've drawn. I'm thinking about, because here's the thing. I'm thinking about myself in my 20s, yeah. Right? And how I was helping people out by, I drew this thing. Oh, I'm making the world more interesting. I'm doing this.
Right.
And the fact is that
I'm doing
those things for myself.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Saying that I'm doing it for other people, but in reality, it's Breaking Bad spoilers. It's Walter White in Breaking Bad. You know, I said I was doing this for other people. I was doing it for myself. That sort of thing. And speaking about doing it for myself, hey, Betty!
Well, I guess that's the end of that conversation.
Yeah, it was a good time to end, I think. Hey, so Betty is in middle school now.
I can't believe
sixth grade. And Ben?
Yeah.
We are going to talk to Betty about something
okay. That
is important. Betty had her first after school activity meeting.
And what's
not even 2 days ago.
What's her after school activity?
Betty, come and talk to Ben about your after school activity.
It's basically drama.
Did you hear that?
It's basically drama.
Yeah. Now, Betty, tell Ben what it is that you're interested in doing with drama.
I'm gonna do some sound stuff for the first one and maybe for the first play, maybe for another play, I might do some acting if it's even good. But the play is Dr. Seuss, but it's also Romeo and Juliet.
So there was a Dr. Seuss Romeo and Juliet. She wasn't interested in the play.
I actually think I have a part of the script.
So she said that what she wanted to do instead. Did you say sound? Yeah, she's gonna do theater tech stuff.
Excellent.
For it. Yeah, and at first I was like, what, you don't want to be, and then I was like, no, wait, this is great.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually have the script.
Oh, she has part of the script now. Okay.
The techies are really the cool kids
in
theater.
But prepare your ears.
It's true.
But prepare your ears, because this is actually pretty cringy.
Okay, here she goes.
The Seussification of Romeo and Juliet by Peter Bodell. The two narrators enter the playing area. They dress and behave similarly. Narrator 1, dear ladies and mentalfolk. Narrator 2, women and gents. And it's like, altering, so yeah.
Yeah.
You're people of culture and true common sense. You know what you know. And you like what you like singing a song or riding a bike, 2-hour symphonies, ping pong, canoeing, poetry, football, or yellow snowshoeing. Narrator 2, glancing at narrator 1 with disgust. We like that stuff too!
Okay, we're not going to read the whole thing, I don't think.
It's the greatest two-bedded topic.
I don't think
the
we're allowed.
Romeo and Juliet!
Yeah, we really can't read, Betty, we can't read this whole thing.
Okay.
It's copyright.
I've never heard of
it.
Is this something that like the drama teacher at the school wrote for the students.
And also, this play does not belong
no,
to
I don't
me.
Think so.
It belongs to the that guy mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So do you know, did the person who wrote it, was it a student or a teacher or where did
I
it come
don't
from?
Even know.
Okay. So she doesn't.
Right.
Obviously, you can hear her. Yeah. So, Ben was saying, Betty, that Theater Tech is actually, that's the cool kids.
I'm the cool kids.
Yeah. I am the cool kids. Oh my gosh, Betty, t-shirt idea.
Yes!
Ben, we should make a t-shirt that says, I am the cool kids.
Yep.
That is the first Goody Lawrence t-shirt. I think we should do it.
Is it I am the cool kid or I am the cool kids?
I am the cool kids, plural.
All right.
So yeah, I think that's good.
I are the cool kids?
No, I am the cool kids. I like I are the cool kids, but no, I am the cool kids.
I am the cool kids.
Yeah. Right. Also, Betty rode the activity bus for the first time.
It's the same as the normal bus.
It's the same as the normal bus, except that
it leaves
later.
School later.
And
yeah.
And longer. And Mom was very worried.
And it takes you like an hour to get back.
Yeah, because it's like, whereas there are 20 regular buses, there's only like 5 activity buses. And so they have to do a majority of the routes, right?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Betty just kissed the mic, by the way, if people are wondering what that noise was.
Grr.
Yeah.
My after-school activity when I was in middle school, and this was in 7th grade, was track and field. I did track and field in the 7th and 8th grades.
Ben was saying he was in track and field.
Hmm.
Betty is also in band, though. She is a percussionist.
Oh, excellent.
And might I add, the only girl percussionist in the entire band, 6th grade band, I mean.
Wait, what? Are you serious?
Yes.
High five on that.
Yeah, man.
It's not high
Everybody's
going to
want you in their
dad.
Band.
Ben, keep it wrong.
All right, keep it wrong, Paul.
Wrong.